Chapter 4. Execution. The more soldiers sweat in training, the less they bleed in combat. Proverb. Overview. Execution is the implementation of the long-range training guidance. It is the deliberate and purposeful accomplishment of each training event's training objectives, executing increasingly challenging training events to the prescribed standard, builds the training proficiency required to achieve designated mission essential task proficiency levels. It also develops increasingly capable, confident, and lethal soldiers, leaders, and units. See the Army Training Network, ATN, at https://atn.army.mil for more information on training execution. Leader roles in execution. Leaders must know and understand their roles in executing training. Commanders and leaders must be present and actively engaged in training, demonstrate tactical and technical proficiency, ensure training is conducted to standard, as prescribed in Army Training and Evaluation Outlines, known as T&EOs, and applicable weapon system publications. Ensure training is led by trained and certified officers and non-commissioned officers, NCOs. Protect training by eliminating distractors. Effectively manage risk by continuously reviewing risk assessment and managing mitigation and control measures. Senior NCOs ensure subordinate leaders are trained and prepared. Training is conducted to standard, not time. Task execution is repeated until the standard is reached. Presenting and performing training. How training is presented is key to its effectiveness. Training is presented by the chain of command whenever possible. Unit leaders are present and responsible for training, even if a technical trainer provides the information. Training is performance-oriented and is evaluated against established standards found in applicable proponent publications. Those publications can include training and evaluation outlines and training circulars. Leaders progressively adjust task conditions to increase task difficulty. This builds task familiarity and soldier and leader confidence. Leaders add realism and complexity to task conditions as rapidly as possible to achieve near operational conditions. Risk management changes the effectiveness of mitigation measures and controls. Focus on fundamentals. Commanders and leaders keep it simple. Shoot, move, communicate, and survive. Units must master the basics before progressing to increasingly complex tasks. A basic task training focus provides the foundation to build proficiency in individual tasks as the unit progresses to more complex unit collective tasks. Train to task mastery on highest priority tasks. Task mastery is not a training proficiency rating, but a concept that requires full understanding of a task, its component parts, its underlying principles, its importance, and its support to the larger mission. To build task mastery, units focus on fundamentals at individual, crew, squad, and platoon levels before proceeding to higher level collective tasks. Organizations then gradually increase the difficulty of conditions under which the prioritized task is trained to include limited visibility, degraded communications, loss of key leaders, and unexpected changes in an operational environment. Task mastery goes beyond executing a task to standard through constant repetition. It entails successfully executing multiple iterations, sets, and repetitions of a task under the most challenging and dynamic conditions while constantly adjusting for changes in the operational environment and making the best use of resources. Prioritized training acknowledges that mission, limited time, and resources dictate that units train the most important tasks first. However, leaders should not settle for achieving a trained proficiency rating on priority tasks, but strive to reach task mastery on them. Night and adverse weather training. Units must be able to operate at night and during adverse weather conditions. Soldiers must be proficient in the use of night vision devices and other limited visibility equipment during operations. Units may conduct reverse cycle training. In such training, units reverse the normal duty day so that training takes place during reduced or limited visibility. Reverse cycle training maximizes night training opportunities to make the conduct of individual tasks and unit-level operations routine. Conducting ranges and drivers training at night requires more detailed planning and additional resources to mitigate risk. Achieving task mastery at night requires significant leadership focus and unit discipline. Night vision devices require care and maintenance. Light discipline requires vigilance and attention to detail, and the confidence necessary for effective operations during limited visibility requires repetitive exposure during training. Live fire training. Live fire training involves movement, maneuver, and employing weapons systems in a live training environment using full caliber ammunition. Live fire training is a progressive training process, culminating in individuals and units' ability to maneuver safely and effectively while engaging targets using full caliber ammunition. It includes prerequisite training, weapons qualification, and collective live fire training. Live fire training is the primary tool for training marksmanship under field conditions, fire distribution and control, weapons confidence, synchronization of fires and their effects, platoon level and above. Live fire training also provides training in weapons systems, familiarization, proficiency, and qualification, execution of battle tasks, drills and mission essential task list, known as metal tasks in a live fire environment, fire control and distribution, command and control skills in a live fire environment, individual and unit movement and maneuver techniques under live fire conditions, weapons systems safety awareness and compliance, soldier confidence and assigned weapons systems and leader confidence in individual and collective readiness, risk management processes and procedures. The foundation of unit live fire proficiency is proficiency with individual and crew-served weapons. Units then progressively train to proficiency at the fire team, squad, platoon, and company levels. Battalions conduct combined arms live fire training with proficient companies. Brigades do the same with their proficient battalions, ultimately employing joint fires when resources allow. Live fire training progresses in three stages: prerequisite training, weapons qualification, such as individual, crew-served, and platform, live fire. Simulations. Commanders conduct training in a live environment as much as possible. There are times when conducting training in a strictly live environment is not possible or practical. Simulations allow unlimited sets and repetitions to train and retrain skills, allowing individuals and units to enter live training at a much higher level of proficiency and competency. With a simulation's continued use, units can better sustain levels of proficiency. Senior leaders ensure simulations remain relevant, challenging, and are included in qualification standards. Examples of training simulations include aviation simulators, unit conduct of fire trainers, driver training simulators, call for fire trainers, constructive and virtual to include gaming training support. Simulations allow commanders to plan training and think innovatively. They give commanders the ability to leverage multiple technologies to link live, virtual, and constructive training environments to best replicate an expanded operational environment. For example, simulations enhance the command and staff experience at mission training complexes by integrating real-time external inputs to replicate a more complete operational picture. Every installation manages simulation resources for unit use. Commanders know the simulations available and incorporate their use as they plan and execute training. Simulations are an integral component to live, virtual, and constructive training environments. Leveraging multi-echelon training and live, virtual, and constructive training. Commanders use all available training environments to maximize realism to multi-echelon training. This is especially important in an era of declining training budgets, limited training resources, and available time to train. Commanders must be knowledgeable of and integrate all possible assets available to make training as realistic and challenging as possible. This integration of multi-echelon training and use of live, virtual, and constructive training resources takes leadership, foresight, and detailed planning and execution. As an example, some units deploying to the National Training Center, known as NTC, conduct multi-echelon training by incorporating live and constructive simulation training and distributed learning capabilities back to home station to include additional division enablers. This technique incorporates live training and leverages significant technological capabilities of constructive simulations while geographically dispersed. Such an integrated technique adds a dimension of realism not possible or practical by training in a live environment only. The benefits of the live, virtual, and constructive training approach delivers a higher degree of training realism and ultimately improved training proficiencies at every echelon in the command. This is especially advantageous when training to conduct complex, multi-echelon, large-scale combat operations. Training techniques. Training techniques provide leaders effective ways to train in achieving task standards. Leaders and units are innovative as they adapt training techniques to their organizations. These techniques are prioritized through commander-to-commander dialogues. Drills. Drills provide standard actions that link soldier and collective tasks at staff and platoon levels and below. There are two types of drills: battle drills and crew drills. A battle drill is a collective action where soldiers and leaders rapidly process information, make decisions, and execute without a deliberate decision-making process. For example, a staff performs a battle drill to exercise a command post. A crew drill is a collective action that the crew of a weapon or piece of equipment must perform to use the weapon or equipment. It is a trained response to a given stimulus, or initiated cue, such as a leader order or the status of the weapon or equipment. Crew drills require minimal leader orders to accomplish. Lane training. Lane training is a company and below training technique designed to practice, observe, and evaluate individual tasks, collective tasks, or battle drills. It allows the unit to focus on the critical tasks, allows for consistent and uniform assessments, and maximizes the use of available time. In lane training, a small unit operates from a stationary position or tactically moves mounted or dismounted through a prescribed land course, a lane. A trained observer evaluates unit performance as the lane is executed. Opportunity training. Opportunity training, also referred to as hip pocket training, consists of individual tasks or crew-based skills trained when there are inactive periods, downtime, during scheduled training. It is a part of multi-echelon training and is used for improving or sustaining task proficiency when time is available. Opportunity training requires forethought, leader certification, and appropriate resourcing prior to execution. Skills selected for opportunity training must support unit-prioritized mission-essential tasks and battle tasks. Tasks and drills often selected for opportunity training are those that leaders can easily train in 10 to 20 minutes. The platoon leader, in concert with the platoon sergeant, approves the individual tasks or crew drills for opportunity training, usually during platoon training meetings. A key element to opportunity training is that the tasks or drills are pre-selected, with every leader within the platoon ready to execute and evaluate the tasks at any time when the opportunity avails itself. Training time is limited and precious. There can be no downtime during a training event, so when an opportunity arises, leaders are ready and prepared to fill time gaps in training. Sergeant's time training. Sergeant's time training, many units call this leader's time training, provides scheduled training time set aside by unit commanders for unit NCOs to train their soldiers in specified tasks and skills. It requires preparation, resourcing, and predictability, so commanders and leaders at every level protect, support, incorporate, and maximize the importance of sergeant's time training during company training. Sergeant's time training is standards-based, is performance-oriented, and supports unit mission essential tasks and battle tasks. Mutual trust and confidence between soldiers and their first-line leaders are absolutely critical outcomes to sergeant's time training. Leaders capitalize on high-payoff tasks that support more than one of the organization's mission essential tasks or battle tasks. This is because the skills and proficiencies achieved while training a high payoff task transfer to other mission essential tasks or battle tasks. After action review. An after action review is a guided analysis of an organization's performance conducted at appropriate times during and at the conclusion of a training event or operation with the objective of improving future performance. An after action review, AAR, can be formal or informal, sometimes called a hot wash, and includes a facilitator, event participants, and other observers. AARs also signal the start of the next planning cycle. Lessons learned from the review of performance provide leaders the specifics of what and how to perform better for future training. The AAR process ensures participants self-discover what went right, what went wrong, and how to perform to standard next time. Leaders capture AAR results to craft more effective training plans and execution. AARs also help leaders frame the unit's retraining efforts. To the greatest extent, training is not complete until all training objectives are met. When this is not possible, leaders ensure retraining is planned and executed as expeditiously as possible. Recording results. Units always record and retain the results of training. The method used to record training is at the commander's discretion, except as specified by AR-350-1 or a local command directive. These records represent valuable training information that capture the results of training, replicate training events previously conducted, or develop innovative ways to improve training techniques and procedures. Recording the results of training is critical for leaders to project future training requirements based on unit personnel turbulence. Training requirements are cataloged in leader books and battle rosters to ensure these training gaps are filled as expeditiously as possible as new personnel arrive in the unit. See the Army Training Network, ATN, https://atn.army.mil for leader books and tools. Units maintain training records in leader books, battle rosters, certification, Army web-based training management systems. Leader books are a tool for NCOs to maintain reference information on their soldiers' individual training status. NCOs track individual task proficiency, warrior tasks and battle drill proficiency, crew qualification status, weapons qualification, maintenance status, equipment accountability, and other soldier-related information and data. Battle rosters help leaders track key training information on selected systems. Leaders maintain battle rosters at battalion level and below. The exact composition of battle rosters varies depending on the mission and type of unit. Certification is a process in which the unit commander specifies qualification and competency criteria to ensure trainers and leaders meet proficiency standards. The record of certifications are retained for training management purposes. Examples of certification include Expert Infantryman Badge, Driver's License, and Combat Lifesaver. Army web-based training management systems are available for units to maintain training records through the Army Training Network, https://atn.army.mil. Examples of training records available through the Army Training Network include Mission Essential Task Assessments, Training Plans, and Individual and Unit Training Records.